great idea.
What are you waiting for?
I would totally fund
that. Of course
you should
try.
You should do it. You were born for this.
Imagine how different your life would be.
Why wouldn't you give it a shot? It's go time.
Welcome back to Go Time. I'm your host, Brett Harris, and this is part two of our CES 2017 Roundup series. Now, if you haven't had a chance to listen to the campaigners in part one, I'd highly recommend checking it out. Tons of amazing tips and insights from campaigners who are building amazing products that are really groundbreaking. Now, in part two, we're going to explore the world of manufacturing with Arrow Electronics and Riverwood Solutions, and we'll discuss the best way to approach your product development strategy. We'll also sit down with the teams from Target, Brookstone, and Amazon to discuss how best to approach your post-campaign retail strategy. If this is your first time listening to the show, please take 30 seconds, subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, and give us a rating. Now, without further ado, please enjoy part two of our CES Roundup.
We are here live with Arrow Electronics with Matt Anderson, the Chief Digital Officer and President at Arrow Electronics. And alongside me, as always, my co-host, Dave Mandelbro.
Hey, Brett.
Good to have you back. I've been missing you all
day. Nice to be back.
So if you don't know Arrow, if you haven't seen the Super Bowl ads, if you haven't seen him on the race cars, if you haven't seen him behind the field goal stands at Mile High Stadium for all you Broncos fans out there, Arrow, if you're a maker, you know who they are. You guys are everywhere. And I think the question that I get the most when we first started talking about partnering with you is, how on earth is this giant Fortune 500 company working with entrepreneurs? And I think most people would love to do it, but they just don't even understand how you guys are doing it. So can you give us a glimpse as to what you guys have been up to over the past year or two?
Yeah, well, no, that's, you've definitely highlighted a conundrum of, being Arrow. Here we are, a Fortune, I think, 119 company this year. We have always been really about this idea of guiding innovation forward or enabling innovation to happen, right? Now, our big campaign is 5 years out. And so that's sort of the practical innovation horizon where you can have something you're working on today and believe it's going to be there. When people talk about things 20 years out, you don't really think about that as being, anything on the imminent horizon. And so as we really studied what it meant to be an innovative company to really guide innovation forward, we really saw this movement that you guys have obviously latched onto, which is the democratization of innovation and just, the tremendous power of putting, I think, internet attention on innovative ideas and then seeing if they're really going to work out. And so we felt like the Indiegogo platform really allowed us in many ways to work at that level of scale because in working with you, the crowd is able to tell us and you and the entrepreneur if the idea is commercially viable. And then Arrow can dedicate its engineering and manufacturing and production and software resources to really help go from what often is something that maybe is put together with, rubber bands and masking tape to something that's really commercially viable.
Well, and that's amazing too, because I think the hardest part that we hear from people through the product development process is you can get the prototype, you can get that initial concept, but then, and even if you do a successful crowdfunding campaign and you get the excitement of the crowd, then you actually have to go do it. And that's where a lot of people get hung up. And, to have a company like yours come in with the resources that you do. And I know when we started this, my initial knowledge was Arrow is a procurement company that can help get materials and parts and components. But you guys do so much more. I mean, from promotion and marketing and helping with the manufacturing supply chain. What is it that you found over the past year that some of the entrepreneurs have gravitated to you guys the most for support? Like, where are they looking for support the most in?
Yeah, I was just talking to the CEO of Playdate, who, launched on Indiegogo and has been very successful there. We happen to flash fund them as well. And so we've been working very closely with Playdate. And, I think his feedback...
What is, real quickly, for those who don't know, what is the flash funding?
Flash funding is the idea that when someone needs a certain amount of money to go make their innovation a reality, Arrow comes in and we give them all that money in one big chunk and just say, stop working on the marketing, stop working on, that we've taken a look at your idea. We think it's commercially viable, it's technologically viable, and we really, really want to give you the funds to go get started and start working with us on getting it out in the market. And so, that was one of the companies we did that with. And it's this cool ball that you can control with an app and you play with your animal even when you're away. So if you have a dog or a cat, you can have them chase it around. I guess it's like a much more cool version of a flashlight, for the cat, because you can play with them you know, really when you're traveling or whatever you might be doing. And so it really lets you, I think, stay connected with your animal, which is important to people. So anyway, I was talking with him and he just said, you know, hardware is hard. And I said, well, what's so hard about, you know, hardware? And he said, the real hard part is the components. You know, we didn't feel comfortable putting something into thousands of pre-orders that we had when it maybe wouldn't charge every single time, right? Because you don't want to have a bad experience with your customers. And also, you know, what happens if that thing stops getting made, that one little component? And so we've helped them really make sure they were using the right one, the one that was cutting edge, was best in class, you know? And I think that's really been one of the things that we've seen from a lot of people. You know, we have a couple partners of our certification program that are leading edge technologies, companies like Analog Devices and TE. And like TE is, for instance, really focused in on, you know, smart homes and connectivity and sensors that really bring automation and intelligence into the home and that kind of thing. And so because we have really worked to curate like some of the leading edge technologies for the kinds of things we see on Indiegogo, it's really a match made in heaven. You know, it's like there's a whole universe of stuff you can choose from. There are literally millions of SKUs. We have one of the largest SKU libraries on our website in the world, right? But how do you go from that to the right one for you? And I think that's really where, you know, these engineers that are all around us right now helping companies are able to kind of marry up, you know, some of the really interesting technologies like TEs and ADIs with the needs of companies like Playdate and others.
That's amazing. And the real reason for getting you in here for the podcast today is Dave and I have a plethora of ideas, speaking of flash funding, that we've been waiting to pitch to you.
All right. I'm excited to hear.
I'll add on that, you know, it's been a really interesting journey for us at Indiegogo. What we were seeing at Indiegogo is that our platform was a wonderful place for new entrepreneurs to get their ideas funded and to validate that there was a market for their product. But entrepreneurs on our platform, you know, as Kevin from Playdate said, hardware is hard. And entrepreneurs on our platform were often struggling with how to successfully get their funded ideas to market. Not put aside whether they could get customers. They were getting them funded. They were getting customers on our platform. But then once they knew they had those customers, they were really having a hard time figuring out, what components do I put in this product? Where do I manufacture it? And how do I design this product to make it one that is easily manufacturable? And I will say, from our standpoint, from our entrepreneur standpoint, this partnership has been really, really valuable to make hardware less hard, to make it so that an entrepreneur with a great idea that's already proven that they have a market can take it all the way and get that product into consumers' hands.
Well, I think the thing that you pointed out too that's really interesting, and I don't come from a hardware background, so I'm learning a lot of this first time, but the feedback we've gotten is you may make your prototype because you have a connection with someone who has a friend of a friend that can get you the components you need. But you have no idea, to your point, if that component is going to be outdated in a year and they're going to stop producing it. And that can kill a company, I mean, immediately. Or if the circuit board that they're building on is something that's so custom and so unique that when it's time to switch over for mass production, they have to completely redesign the thing to actually make it, you know, producible, if that's even the word, at scale. So it's amazing that you guys are able to kind of section off a portion of your company and really focus in on this particular area of the market.
Yeah, you know, one of my favorite quotes, and I found it to be true, is I've run businesses, and I know there's a lot of aspiring business owners and people looking to scale up, is nothing kills a business faster than growth. And, you know, that's kind of an interesting thing when you think about using Indiegogo and this program. It's like Indiegogo could really catalyze you into the stratosphere, right, of attention and pre-orders, those kinds of things. And, you know, it really suddenly put so much focus. You had to get quite good at what you're doing quite quickly, you know? And I think what's interesting about this is that now growth is not a danger, right? Growth is really something that, you know, you can jump on the back of this big freight train that's Aero, that, you know, that I love that example of that part that goes out. You know, we work with some of the largest airplane manufacturers on the planet. And you want to talk about knowing that a part is going to still be made, it needs to be made 50 years later. You know, there are 737s out there right now that are really, really old, right? And, you know,
I'm going to take a train back to San Francisco after this.
Well, you know, they say the old ones are the most safe because they do a lot of maintenance to them. But, you know, we work with some of those manufacturers of you know, aeronautics and space and that kind of stuff. And we make sure that, you know, that part is going to be available in perpetuity. And sometimes that even looks like us going in and taking over the manufacturing of the underlying technology itself to assure them that that part's going to be there. And so, you know, you're getting all of that sort of gravitas put down onto people that are really aspiring and getting started, and we're just as serious for them as we are with, you know, some of the largest aeronautics companies in the world.
And on top of that, you're throwing wads of cash at people through flash funding.
Right, we're giving away $1 million this year.
That's no joke, $1 million.
$1 million. I think we are, so far, we're the largest flash funder, I think, on Indiegogo.
Yes, and,
you know,
history.
Yeah, in history. Yeah. And it's been really exciting for us. I mean, it's really gratifying to see people have a vision, an idea, an innovative thing, you know, just light up when you hand them something and say, hey, look, a big company like Aero with a lot of knowledge and expertise has taken a look at what you're doing, and we think it's really interesting.
Well, and it's no joke, people, if you haven't looked at our partnership and our partner page yet with Aero, they literally are throwing cash at people. They're helping. They're jumping on phone calls. You're jumping on emails. If you have an idea, you just got to submit. That's all you have to do, right? There's no qualifications. You just got to throw your hat in the ring.
Yeah, if you start a campaign, you're in the technology space, or you use technology, you're automatically sort of sent this notification that says, hey, do you want to talk to Aero? And if you say, yeah, I'd like to talk to Aero, you're instantly entered in to, you know, really that flash funding pool. And every quarter we're giving away about $250,000. So get your campaign going, get your idea going, get it in and, you know, get started, because, you know, the money is being given away every single day.
Amazing. Well, I know you just got in today. This might be a quick trip through CES for you, but is there anything exciting coming up through the Aero-specific program or just any other updates with Aero in general?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm really excited about is there are so many innovative products around here. I mean, you know that there's innovation happening, and people really talk about it all the time. There's democratization. You know, you can get engineering talent through like an Uber of engineering and China, all that kind of stuff, but you don't really get a sense of it till you get here and you put your hands on it at all, you know. And even some of the stuff we've done together, like the Norio, which is that really amazing new air conditioner, which is beautiful. It's easy to install. It's much safer to install. It uses less electricity. It's smart, so you can control it from your application. It uses some of our technology providers like TE and others. And so we're really excited about these kinds of ideas, getting out, getting to the market, and getting big. And they've got a prototype right there, and they've taken off the faceplate. You can see all the connectors and, you know, all of the different sensors in it, and, you know, the microcontrollers and that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I just think it's so awesome. It's like the most gratifying thing in the world. In my job, I feel like a lot of times I make PowerPoint. And so it's really fun to come and see people, you know, making real items. They've got passion. They've got excitement, you know, and they're really trying to make it go big and change the world in many ways.
We're super excited to see what else is coming. And I know we're going to have a lot more updates coming up soon with the Aero program, including some more exciting news later on this quarter. So we'll be sure to check back in with you guys. And we'll also do some follow-up stories on some of the products that you guys are working with, because it's unbelievable you guys are really shifting the industry and changing hardware from being hard to not so hard. I mean, hard, but not as hard as it used to be, which is exciting.
Hardware is doable again.
That's right. Awesome. Well, Matt, thanks so much for coming out and joining us on Go Time.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. We are still live at CES with Indiegogo, and joining me in the pink tank is John Docker from Riverwood Solutions. And John, the Vice President of Business Development, we just partnered with Riverwood Solutions. For those who aren't sure, have never heard of you, who is Riverwood Solutions?
Thanks, Brett. We're really excited about this partnership and working with Indiegogo. So we're a product realization company. So we help with operations and manufacturing, helping bring products to life. You know, a lot of smart people reach out, have great ideas, but maybe not the expertise in the background to actually turn those ideas into a physical product, and that's why we exist.
I gotta say, that's the number one thing I hear whenever I meet people who have an idea. The first thing is, you know, it's great, I believe in the idea, but actually building this piece of hardware and bringing it to market, I just get so overwhelmed. And that's where you guys can actually come in and help them connect with manufacturers, design, engineer. You guys do all of that?
Right. Yes, that's it. So we can help, you know, find the engineering. You know, we're not looking to create the idea, but, you know, we can help tailor ideas to be manufacturable, something that can be built. And then once we get to that point, really kind of look at costing, time to market, and things like that will really help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I feel there's a lot of things that people, you don't know what you don't know, right? And going into it, I think in a lot of respects, that's probably a really good thing. Because if you knew what you were supposed to know, you might not ever start.
Yeah.
And so as you come across these challenges, I don't want to say stumbling blocks, but challenges, which everybody does,
you know, you guys can actually help prevent some of those pitfalls early on.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and I say it's not, I wouldn't say operations isn't rocket science. It's not that complicated, but a lot of what comes is through experience. And that's what, you know, my background is a lot of making mistakes and learning from those. And that's what our company is. That's all we do. You know, we want to take our expertise and apply that to these problems and help these new products, you know, come to life.
So what are some of the products that you guys have worked with in the past?
Yeah, we've worked with companies and products, you know, very diverse, you know, very small wearables, you know, like Fuelbound for Nike, for instance, you know, big company, but this is a textile company, you know, very big, but didn't have experience in electronics. So we helped them. We've worked more recently, a company called Eero that's based in San Francisco, mesh networking for the home. So those Wi-Fi dead spots are gone. And then, you know, very close to home here for the Indiegogos, we worked very closely with Atlas Wearables a couple years ago to bring their wearable to market.
And they're a fitness wearable that helps you track, I guess, your muscle gain.
Yeah, so basically it's more advanced. I'm one of the more advanced wearables. Instead of just tracking, you know, steps or things like that, it actually measures your movements to know what exercises you're doing, and then can give you coaching as to if you're doing it correctly or not.
The interesting thing, and I don't come from a manufacturing background, so a lot of this is relatively new for me, but, you know, if someone's developing this in their garage or, say, at a tech shop, they might not have any idea that the board that they're using is using components or things that aren't usable at when you're manufacturing at scale, right?
Right. Yeah, a lot of what we see is, you know, at the early part, I mean, there's a lot of platforms out there that make this weird. Raspberry Pi didn't exist a couple years ago, Arduino boards. And those are great, and those are a great way to bring a proof of concept and prove that your idea can actually happen. But those aren't the kind of things you take into manufacturing. You know, you need to kind of, because you're going to be paying for some features you don't need. The board might not actually physically fit in what you're trying to do. You know, they're not exactly designed for being compact or designed for being inexpensive and accessible. So those are kind of the next steps, is you want to take what you've proven works and then, you know, shrink it down and cost it down to make it what you need.
Right, so develop a custom board, and hopefully if they can at least connect with you before they start on this path, they're not so far off on their initial prototype or design, so when they do have to make that switch, it should be a more seamless transition. Right,
right. And, you know, in conjunction with that, you know, we can look at, you know, how all the electronics are packaged and also the mechanical packaging around that. You know, are these things possible? You know, maybe there's some very cutting-edge designs that people do, but maybe some trade-offs, and we can kind of help, you know, what is current state-of-the-art, what is future state-of-the-art, you know, what is a commodity that can you easily jump into?
Right, right. Well, that's really interesting, and I feel hardware is so different than it was even 5 years ago today. And now with folks like you guys coming out to help entrepreneurs and startups, and traditionally I feel like the word entrepreneur to big manufacturers, big consulting groups, or even small consulting groups was kind of a scary word, right? Because
Yeah. You
have this group of people who's inexperienced, they don't know a lot of things, but now we're seeing so much innovation. I mean, here at CES, there's almost 180 campaigns and products that were funded on Indiegogo displaying here now, and they're becoming the next big thing. Is that why you guys have kind of shown interest in us?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's obviously a market that's growing, has grown over the past several years, and it seems to be growing further, you know, with the changes in the laws, with equity funding now allowed. So we see a lot of future in this, and, you know, what we've really tried to hone our message to people is to allow them to focus on the value add portions of their business, the product development, the marketing, the channel development. And we'll focus on the, you know, kind of the backroom stuff, the operations, you know, how it gets from the idea to the market. Because that's very hard to learn, very time consuming, and, you know, there's limited expertise. We can bridge that gap very quickly.
So what are some tips that you might have for someone who's just starting out? They got a great idea, they want to bring it to market.
Yeah, I think that's a great question for people. I'm sure a lot of people have that. I think, you know, what they need to do is kind of understand what their product is, what's really important about it. At some point, they're probably going to have to make some trade-offs for cost, price, you know, delivery time.
What are you trying to optimize for?
Yeah, and they need to understand when we come to them and we have those discussions with them, you know, what are the trade-offs that you can take that aren't going to dilute the idea, but it will still allow you to deliver the experience, the customer experience that they're aiming for. That's a big one. And understanding, you know, who their user is going to be, because that's something that we're going to be able to opine about too, as far as, you know, maybe finishes, materials, things like that. We can help manage costs, understanding the whole use case, and that's kind of hard all down the supply chain. They're going to want to kind of understand that too, so it's very important for the entrepreneur to be able to articulate their vision for the product. So everyone along the way can help them realize that.
Well, that's the beauty about crowdfunding, I think, is once you run your campaign, you get that instant feedback. And so you have a good picture of who your customer is, what kind of features are important, which ones aren't. It creates that two-way communication that didn't exist before.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. But instead of designing in a vacuum or with focus groups, you're getting real-time information about what people really want.
Right. Well, it's amazing having you guys here. I know this is just the beginning. And people, if they want, they can just talk to you guys for free, right? Share their idea and figure out how you guys can work together.
Absolutely. I think they can reach out to us through the Indiegogo website. You can find us on the web. But anytime at all, we're here to help.
Absolutely. So go to check out enterprise.indiegogo.com/RWS, which stands for Riverwood Solutions. And John, thanks so much for coming to the Pink Tank.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, we're back. We're here with Lauren Van Heerden, the Chief Innovation Officer and Head of Business Development for Brookstone. And Lauren, it's been a year since we last spoke, and some amazing things have happened in that year. But before we get into any of that, how was holiday for Brookstone?
Hey, Brett. Holiday was really awesome. We had some great stuff that happened in the stores. We had a new product that landed. I think we launched something like 75 new products that came in after November 1st. So it's kind of pent-up demand when you have a whole bunch of stuff in the stores. And what we found was that a lot of the newness that we drove throughout the year really hit some home runs in terms of the holiday. So we saw some great sales in terms of our new audio products. Obviously, drones went really well, and the Indiegogo stuff that we had from a lot of the makers that we brought in throughout the year really, really crushed it and did great. A couple ones that we're really happy to be able to highlight is the Trex bone conducting headphones that we did with you guys. Awesome, awesome.
And real
awesome.
Quick, if no one knows about that, it's all amazing, right? Because it's not inside your ear, right? It's actually going through the bone and almost like a speaker type sound.
Yeah, you got it. It's actually, there's a little funny story on it. So for everybody out there who lives in Florida, first of all, I live in New Hampshire, so I wish I were you. The second thing is that in Florida now, supposedly it's illegal to be on a bicycle while having headphones in your ears. So if you have earbuds and you're on a bicycle, watch out for cops. So what the Trex bone conducting headphones are is that it actually sits above your ear so that you're able to hear the sound really through your bones, really above your ear. And it's very interesting, and it lets you hear all of the ambient noise that's happening around you, so it gives you a much more safe experience.
Wow.
So another thing that we launched earlier in the year but also had a very, very strong holiday was the Bobax jacket. That, I actually was wearing mine yesterday, and people were stopping me and asking me, hey, where'd you get that? And I went, hey, I can sell you right now, or you can get it. So,
did you use one at CES? I have no pockets for all my chargers and cards.
I hear you. I felt like, what's that Inspector Gadget guy? It's like I open up the jacket and I can find anything at any time in one of those jackets. So it was really great.
And real quickly, give everybody an idea. Brookstone Launch is geared specifically towards entrepreneurs and people who may otherwise either be intimidated or unfamiliar with the big retail. You guys are actually extending the olive branch to really help bring them up to speed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the way that I kind of describe it to people, especially after they've had a successful crowdfunding campaign, is I ask a very simple question, which is, are you having night terrors yet? And most of the time they look at me and they're like, oh, somebody who understands, right? So it's because the actual...
The night terrors are a good thing, people. That means you're being successful.
Yeah. Well, I think that there's a big difference between having a successful campaign, which is super, super hard, and you guys really come together with helping these entrepreneurs do it. And then, we have this great campaign, and how do you keep the momentum in order to be able to get to market, and then not only get to market, but to be able to successfully sell your product afterwards? And so that's really where we come in. So it used to be that if you wanted to work with a retailer, it was like, hey, get your products ready, and then when you're ready, we'll take a look. Now, we're able to find these guys early through our partnership with Indiegogo, and then we're able to then help them from the point at which they're in their campaign through the actual manufacturing process because of our capabilities in Asia, and then we bring it back on shore, and then boom, you're in 250 stores and online and in our catalog. So it's one of these situations where working with Brookstone and Brookstone Launch is able to probably accelerate your timeline to market and to be in mass market by a good 18 months.
Wow. Well, it's so important, too. I know for a lot of entrepreneurs that we work with, I think the dream is to get retail, and everyone sees that, and that's the end goal, but getting there is a lot more difficult. And if you don't have help and you don't have some of that guidance coming through, it could crush you if you try and go too big too fast.
You totally get it. And it's actually really interesting. The one of the other highlights I'll talk about is the Bullrest travel pillow. And, since we last spoke, I have a slightly different role at Brookstone, and the expansion of the role is really working with our wholesale partners. So how's this now? Now, you're like Bullrest. you have this great campaign, you work with Brookstone, we help launch your product, we get you in for holiday, you're in 250 stores, and then through our business development arm, we're now trying to get you into the likes of Macy's and Bon-Ton and Nordstrom's and all that through our existing relationships that we have with wholesale accounts. And here's a little tidbit for you entrepreneurs. Working with those guys, super hard. So when you have a partner like Brookstone that you work through the launch program, we're able to not only accelerate you getting into retail by 18 months because of our the way that we do it, but we're able to then very quickly turn around and then help you get into other national retailers.
It's amazing. Well, especially you're already focused on so much as an entrepreneur, just trying to get the product to market. All those other things are headaches that if you don't have to worry about it, it's a huge weight off your shoulders. Now, I know you guys, Bullrest was an amazing launch. And for those who don't know, it's a rethinking or innovation on the neck rest pillow. So if you're traveling, it's a super compact, easy to carry pillow that is now available in Brookstone stores.
Yeah, it sure is. And I'd even go one step farther. It reinvented the travel pillow, so you don't look like a dork when you're wearing a travel pillow anymore, right? So their travel pillow, carabiners to your bag, and it actually lets you wear your noise cancellation headphones from Brookstone, or cat ear headphones from Brookstone, on top of it, so that you're actually not, you're able to not have to deal with this kind of like U-shaped monstrosity. You have a kind of a sleek pillow that you're now able to fully functionally have with headphones as well.
So I know last year you mentioned cat ear headphones. They were kind of the rock stars with Brookstone and Indiegogo last holiday season in particular. I know you guys have some really exciting upcoming projects, and one of them is here with us today. Can you give us some insight?
Sure. I don't know if you saw that we launched a press release a couple days ago, but we are so, so excited to talk about our partnership with Proxy 42. And I don't know if you, I know you don't have kids because I know you, but I know that you are the, one of the Pokemon Go crazy people because San Francisco had all of the, what were they, creatures or animals or what were they, things?
I feel like if I say I'm not, then I'm going to be judged. So yes, I know exactly what you're saying.
But. All right. So unless you were under a rock last summer, that whole Pokemon Go thing was kind of a thing, right? And so we had already been talking to these guys, Proxy 42, who have this great, this experience that you have. It's an Inceptor that is now only going to be sold through Brookstone, and we're actually manufacturing it. So the cool thing is that it brings to life kind of like this laser tag multiplayer shooting experience to the real world with physical and virtual experience with augmented reality. And what just so happens, how lucky are we that it just so happens that the Proxy 42 team is here. So not that that was a setup, but it was clearly a setup. And I don't know if maybe Craig or Francesco want to talk a little bit about why they picked Brookstone and if they say anything, but you're in kicking distance, guys, so.
Well, first of all, I just want to say super excited to have you guys in the Indiegogo zone. As someone who grew up with laser tag with the big clunky sets, which I love to this day, when I first saw your campaign, it brought me right back to that moment as a kid hiding in my basement with my brother playing laser tag, and
totally.
Just so excited. But do you want to introduce yourself and tell us?
Sure. So Craig Allen, I'm a creative strategist for Proxy 42, and we have here the founder and inventor, Francesco.
Yeah, I'm a CEO, I'm the founder and the inventor and blah, blah, blah.
And blah, blah, blah. It's very good.
So what first prompted you to come up with this idea?
Well, I was thinking it would be cool to play new kind of video games with mobile phones. These phones got a lot of things, got GPS, got a camera, got Bluetooth, got a lot of sensors. Why don't we create something that makes people live new game experience based on all the sensors? Because basically I have a super powerful platform in my hands, but I just keep on playing the same game I was playing 10 years ago on a different format. Maybe yes, there is a good the good idea of touch, the good idea of accelerometer, magnetometer, you know, and gyroscope that make you feel kind of new game experience, but it was enough. I want to bring it to the next level. I was thinking to immersive gaming, and that's where augmented reality came in. But at the moment, we discovered that the game experience with pure software was not good enough. So we decided to create the Inceptor, which allow point-to-point accurate targeting for Twitch-like kind of gaming experience. And that's where Craig came in during the crowdfunding campaign and say, oh my god, I did the first Call of Duty, and I say, oh my god, you really did it. And we start to work together to create the next level of game experience with Father.io.
Basically, the Inceptor is like, if you have a a television and you want to make it a game system, you put a PlayStation or an Xbox and attach it to your television so you can play better gaming. It's the same thing with the Inceptor. You have a mobile phone, you plug on the Inceptor, and now you've got an action gaming platform for a better gaming experience. And then with Call of Duty, like Francesco said, we were really looking at single-player gaming to multiplayer gaming. We went to online gaming, and now we're going into real-world gaming. So we're basically going to recreate every genre, every kind of game experience that you have been playing in one way, but now be able to play it with your friends in social situations, in the real world, anywhere, anytime, all over the planet. So it's the next big wave.
Well, I was going to say, I think that's one of the things that's so cool about it is the social interaction that it evokes, because it encourages people to not just sit in a dark room by themselves playing, right. But now you're out in the real world, you're playing. And this was all happening simultaneously because you guys were developing this, I assume, for a while before Pokemon Go kind of hit, but the timing just seemed to be this perfect storm for what you guys have been building.
Yes, exactly. We are very happy about what John Hank and the team Softniatic has done with Pokemon Go. It just validated our business idea and the whole model. Before Pokemon Go, it was really hard to explain to the people.
Most people, right? Like, you know, people, like, Brookstone got it right away.
Lauren was super supportive. She see the business. She see that that was the thing for the future. And we are pretty happy to work with Brookstone so far to launch our...
When you say pretty happy, you mean, like, ecstatically...
This is a European happy. Yeah. They have a different scale. Like, when you talk to a British guy, and he says, oh, yeah, that's quite adequate, that's, like, a really great compliment. So it's the same thing. That was a European, we're pretty happy. We're really
I am
happy.
Terrifically excited.
It's an American ecstatic.
And I think what's really... If you kind of bring this around to the entrepreneurs, I mean, how else would a... European entrepreneur fast track into the U.S. market. I mean, that's hard, right? That's super hard. Launching a product's hard. Launching a product in a geography that's 330 million people in, five time zones away, 3,000 miles away. I mean, that's hard.
It's really impossible to do so. So that's why we say immediately yes to Brookstone.
Yeah, it was great.
And what is Brookstone helping you guys to do? Because obviously you're kind of coming off the success of the campaign. You had great feedback, great momentum, but then you actually have to go and make the thing.
The thing about being an entrepreneur is it's about focus, right? It's doing things really, really well. And what our area of expertise is in ideation, creation, and software development. Hardware, retail, serving the retail chain, doing manufacturing, shipping, fulfillment. These are all areas of expertise that for us to build the level of quality and service and delivery that we would want to have for our customer base, it would be way too much for us to reasonably do as a startup. So marrying our expertise and giving ourselves the ability to focus and deliver excellence in our area as specialty, and then let Brookstone do the other pieces that they have a lot of benefit with economies of scale around, that's a winning partnership.
It's amazing. So what tips would you guys have for someone else who's starting off on their own? It sounds like you really kind of figured it out with focusing in on what you do well. A lot of people are nervous about that. They're nervous about bringing other people into their baby and inviting, you know, other partners or vendors or whoever it may be. You guys have done that very well. So would you have any advice for anyone who's starting off on their own?
Well, I believe that in 2017, the best things you can do, both in hardware and software, is do an excellent product. Work very hard because that's the best marketing. Make a lot of tests, let a lot of field tests, give it to the people, put in the hands of the people as soon as possible, and build your product, both hardware, both software, through the feedback of the community, and build a community, of course, because that's the biggest value a startup can have.
I think that we're really in a world that is continually pushing into extremes, right? So you're either going like mega launch or you're starting small, like Francesco is saying, building momentum, building support, building an ecosystem, and then growing into something as big as you can push it. And I think as an entrepreneur, you know, you're probably in the latter camp, right? You're starting small, which, as Francesco says, in that world, it's either quality or value. And you pick your direction and then you go hard and fast in that direction. So personally, I prefer quality. I think that the road of a quality product is usually easier because you find more people willing to support and the margins are better. But, you know, mass market, volume, low cost, there's a business there too. It's not really the business we've chosen.
So I got to ask a question. When is this going to be available? When can people see it, touch it, demo it, buy it? People are excited.
So our plan... Sorry, why are you coughing, man?
So, sorry, just a little bit of water.
I said, just get your 3D done, and then we can finalize the date. So to be announced a little bit later, but we will have it in the summer is our plan, early summer is our plan, in order to be able to hit more national retail way in time for holiday. Through the business development team, we're already having some pretty amazing conversations with additional places where you might be more naturally inclined to go to find games that both go and stop. So that was code. So
and very good, very subtle.
And they can go. We can go to their Indiegogo campaign to get updates, but also on the website.
Yep, that's father.io, which is the online community for the game, and then Brookstone, of course. And
yeah, and what you're going to see in terms of when it launches, it's going to be in our stores. It's going to be obviously on our web. We're going to be selling it, you know, quite heavily, and then we're going to very quickly be selling it through our national partners, through our business development and wholesale side.
Amazing. You guys heard it. We'll post all the links in the show notes so people can go check it out. But thank you guys for so much for stopping by the Indiegogo Zone. And I cannot wait. I'm going to be one of your first customers.
I can hook you up.
I know people. Amazing. All
right. We'll get you playing. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you so much.
All right. Excited. We are here with Gene Hahn, the Vice President of Innovation at Target.
Hey, Brett.
Gene, it's great to have you here. I first thing I got to ask, what does that mean at a behemoth like Target? The Vice President of Innovation sounds like a pretty intense role. What does it actually mean?
Yeah, so right now I'm leading our San Francisco Innovation Office, which is focused on consumer IoT. So anything that has to do with the world of connected devices, everything from products to partnerships to business model. You know, we've got a motley crew of people in San Francisco really pushing on that and helping lead the way for Target in this kind of dynamically and changing world of connected devices.
And so I know Target has a wide variety of products and things that you guys cover, but what specifically are you guys looking to do in the coming years to really get your foot more in the door for IoT and consumer electronics?
Yeah, there's a good question. There's a couple things. So, you know, Target's a retailer. We sell a lot of products. So that's focus number one. You know, the hypothesis we have is that, you know, a lot of the great disruptive products are still coming from startups. They can move really fast, develop things really quickly. But I know it's really hard for startups and entrepreneurs to get to market. So that's our aim, to really help the entrepreneurs and startups get to market faster. You know, the second part with the team is to develop the right partnerships. And that is not just what startups or big brands would like. I mean, big brands still are really making a big push into this space. And our belief is that in IoT, it's going to take an ecosystem to win. So having the right partnerships is critically important for that. And so we're having those conversations like on a daily basis, right? And the last part is that, you know, the team is still running our connected device store called Open House in downtown San Francisco. You haven't been there. It's a great space. You know, right now it's under renovation. We're going to relaunch a new kind of experience in early February. But that space itself has been a great learning lab for us. It's a great outpost to talk to consumers, hear what they're struggling with every day. And so it's really impactful for us to continuously learn in this space because it is changing every day.
Well, it's an amazing space. If you haven't been there, I highly recommend it. It's in San Francisco, right in the heart of SoMa. One of the things I think is interesting, though, is how you guys are actually working with the entrepreneurs whose products you're showcasing, because it's different than how people typically work with Target.
Yeah, I mean, most people are thinking that the store for us is a place that just sells products. And that's while that's true, really it's going to convert more into a space that will showcase products that are even pre-market.
So Gene, I know you guys are working a lot with entrepreneurs who have ideas, and you guys are going through a redesign right now with Open House.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so in early February, we're going to refresh or renovate Open House. And one of the areas in the back, it's called the Garage. We're going to feature a lot of startup product. It's going to be 16 products a month, and it's meant to be for entrepreneurs. You know, they have really disruptive product where we can showcase them and actually get them out in a consumer-facing environment very early. And we're pretty excited about that because we know how difficult it is for entrepreneurs to get to market. But in addition to that, we'll be happy to make those introductions for the entrepreneurs that have really disruptive products directly to the merchandising teams at headquarters, you know, the teams that run the 1,800 brick-and-mortar locations as well as the online channel. So we're pretty excited about that. you know, there's nothing more than I love finding an entrepreneur who has a lot of passion around what they're doing, has a really compelling product with a clear use case, and helping them get to market faster.
Which is huge, especially for an entrepreneur that's trying to get their foot in the door with a behemoth like Target, to be able to have a place, a safe haven like Open House, to actually something that won't put them under pressure to go too big, too fast. It sounds like you guys are really helping nurture them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things we've been able to do is actually work with startups, and it's one of the charters for the team in San Francisco, is to develop the right partnerships. Our belief is that a lot of disruptive products will actually come from still from startups because they can move really fast. But getting to market, getting into retail is tough, and we know it is, and we want to be out there to help, especially when someone has something that's really compelling and creates real value for everyday people. Bottom line, that's what we think is really important.
And so what stage do they have to be in? I know in most cases they have to have a prototype to come talk with you guys.
Yeah, having a physical product is best, something that works. We love to see the demos. You know, the closer they are to that, the more we can help them and make those introductions of folks at headquarters when you're ready for market. But having said that, we're willing to talk about things that are a little bit earlier, but knowing that it'll be more on the radar for the overall teams and, you know, still an opportunity to help nurture them and get to market faster.
So what's one of the interesting products that you guys have helped over the past year come to market and kind of grow?
Yeah, one thing that was announced today at CES is this product called Willow. And, you know, it's a partnership we developed very early on. Willow is actually a smart breast pump, and that category has not changed in a really long time. And given that Target's, one of Target's core categories is mom and baby, we felt the fit was awesome. So we got in touch with Naomi really early on, you know, brought them up to Minneapolis, had the conversations with the merchandising team who gave them intimate insights in the category. You know, we ran some of their packaging through our packaging team to do a teardown to look at the costing, you know, provide some recommendations. And that was just a great experience. And we're really excited to feature them in the Target assortment, which will happen in spring of this year.
Ah, that's amazing. So if anybody has an idea, they're thinking about how to approach retail. One, I know you guys are always running amazing events too at Open House. And are those things they can access if they're in San Francisco? But yeah, do you have anything available online that they can reach out and get more information?
You know, a couple points here. So one thing I will say, the team has done a great job. We ran about 25 events in Open House last year. Everything ranging from venture capital investing in IoT to retail 101 to women in technology. So if you have a great idea for an event and that's worth convening a couple hundred people, we'd love to hear it. If you have great products, we'd love to hear about those as well. The best place to reach out to us is at openhouse@target.com.
Okay, so just send you guys an email and you're on your way.
Send us an email. We'll try to get back to you as soon as we can. That email inbox does fill up quite a bit, though.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, and I've been to a handful of your events, and they're not like typical meetups or events. They're actually a ton of fun. You're going to meet amazing people from all different industries that can actually help bring your product to market.
Yeah, and that's great to hear. We love the events. We love convening the broader IoT community within Silicon Valley. So it's really fun for us to be able to provide those opportunities.
Awesome. Well, Gene, thanks so much for stopping by the Indiegogo Zone. We appreciate it.
Brett, nice meeting you again. See you later.
All right.
Okay, we're going to change things up here a little bit in the pink tank. We're going strong with GoTime. Joining me now is Jenny Hageman from Amazon Launchpad. Jenny, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. It's good to be here. Good to be at CES.
Yeah, very cool. So this is our first time having Amazon with us in the Indiegogo Zone.
Yeah.
And one of the unique things is everybody obviously knows Amazon, but you guys have taken a slightly different approach in the last couple of years to really focus on entrepreneurs. And maybe you can tell everybody a little bit about Launchpad and how you guys are doing that.
Yeah, happy to do so. Because really, Indiegogo is one of the first folks to work with Amazon Launchpad before we were Amazon Launchpad. So fun to kind of rewind the clock about 18 months. So Amazon Launchpad, the easiest way to explain it is we're a program dedicated to marketing startup hardware products on the Amazon platform. I use the word hardware mostly because I'm sitting at CES, but we cover really 35 plus different categories on Amazon, everything from consumables to electronics. Really the criteria is it a physical good? So we're very broad in our definition. The other element, and this is why Indiegogo is so critical, is we're looking to focus on entrepreneurs that have evidence of funding, either through a crowdfunding platform like Indie or through a traditional like venture capital raise and or a combination of those things, plus the formalized incubator accelerator programs that are very evident here in Las Vegas. And it's kind of fun to see the growth of that. So that's really the short of it. And then there's two main facets. One, customer facing. What we're hoping to do with AmazonLaunchpad.com is provide a shopping experience to surprise and delight our customers with maybe unexpected products or maybe products that they have been following through the raise of a campaign on Indie. For the startups, really what we're trying to do is provide an easy path towards becoming a retail vendor with Amazon without having to hunt down the questions of who do I talk to, do I need a buyer, things like that.
Yeah, that was the one thing I was going to ask, because a lot of people, you know, they don't want to mess it up, right?
Yep.
They're going to go to Amazon, they want to make sure they get it right.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the ways that you guys are helping them with their mm-hmm. initial launch to make sure that they find success?
Yeah, so really what the genesis of the Launchpad program was that we recognized there was a lot of question marks about how to approach Amazon, especially as a smaller startup that likely doesn't have sales history. Because approaching a retailer is typically, show me your previous trailing 6 to 12 months of sales. Chances are you don't have that. In the situation that we're working with most of your founders and creators with. So what we're doing is twofold. One, providing a self-service onboarding path towards creating a wholesale relationship with Amazon. And once that's done, because that's really just the logistics of turning the key on, essentially, for qualified startups. Once that's done, what we've done is we've really given a toolkit that are built off of proven marketing drivers that we've known produce either traffic or conversion for larger brands for years. So the really tactical things that we're doing is giving all of the startups in our program access to free Vine credits. Amazon Vine is not a 6-second video clip. What Vine is it's the way we sort out our reviewers based on quality and quantity. That basically the top tier of those reviewers get invited to be Vine reviewers, and where they get products from our vendors for free in exchange for leaving product reviews on Amazon within 30 days.
Sounds awesome.
And that's a huge, huge tool like that I don't want to undervalue, because going from having zero product reviews to even having one on Amazon is when you start to get traction, and then you obviously growing from there. So what we want to do is provide easy access to that. Typically, there is a contract fee. What Amazon Launchpad does is we waive that. Additionally, what we've done is we've really changed up the way a product detail page looks on Amazon. So at least I, as an Amazon consumer, and probably most people shopping are used to just a simple product title, couple bullet points, images. And for things like paper towel or a coffee cup, that's all you need to say add to cart, click, and that's what we want to do. But for something like a connected smart home device, you need a little bit more rich context. So what we do is we provide a template that essentially enables additional images, but also video. We're very, very video driven, because that is a proven conversion driver. So
that helps tell the story behind the creation
of the product,
right?
So much so. And I mean, a lot of what successful campaigns on indie do is create a really compelling lifestyle focused product video. So what we want to do is be able to take kind of the juice, quote unquote, that's provided them to enable raising funds and really showcase that either exact video on Amazon or maybe a variation of it. And last but not least, AmazonLaunchpad.com is our URL that we operate to essentially drive traffic to people who are either identifying as being interested in startup products or possibly cross categories like smart home team, you name it. We kind of have the power of Amazon behind us, so we're able to grab and pull from a lot of different places to get customers interested.
So what kind of products, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that goes on Amazon. Are you guys focused in one particular area, or is it open to anyone who comes through the channels that you had mentioned before?
Yeah, so we are purposely open to basically any category that Amazon currently supports today, with the exception of like software and apps. And that's really because we're built and predicated on procuring product and purchasing it, putting it on a shelf, and then eventually putting it in a box with a Prime sticker on it.
Right.
You can't do that with an app. So we're purposely open. Since launching Amazon Launchpad in July of last year, we've added over 1,000 startups to the program, about 5x that in terms of products number. So that's where we've kind of built this really broad categorization of about 35 different existing product categories on Amazon that are housed under Launchpad, which provides its own unique challenges for us to market those and kind of service it.
It's gotten traction, and it's got to be difficult to kind of put different ones at the top.
Well, I think what it comes down to is we want to be providing everyone that initial splash, because really our goal is to take the period of time that it would traditionally take to build relevancy on Amazon and hopefully drastically shorten that, so that it's kind of flipping the paradigm that used to exist of prove yourself and then we'll have that conversation, to saying, how about we give you the tools that we know should lead to success and have helped the cream rise to the top.
Which is especially nice, I think, especially when people are coming off of a successful crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo. They've kind of done that work already, so it's nice to be able to leverage that as they approach retail with Amazon to continue the momentum.
Momentum is exactly the key. And in an ideal world, and these are the things that I don't have to do and I don't envy of the startups that are behind it, is getting it from raise to product is like the critical period to maintain that momentum so that we can continue it in a really meaningful, still hot topic kind of way when we go to sell it on Amazon.
And what are some of the success stories you guys have seen coming through Indiegogo on the launchpad?
A lot. So I checked today because one of the things that I didn't mention in my initial ramble of what Launchpad is obviously with Indiegogo, we've gotten to work with a lot of startups. I counted today on our collection that you can find at amazon.com/Indiegogo. Over 220 startups we've worked with. So that's pretty impressive over about an 18-month period. Ones that like stick out to me is one that I've been carrying around all during CES, the Rocketbook Wave. It's helping me hopefully be digitally organized with my note-taking. It's awesome because really I just have to write notes the same way I would. Take an image, scan it, and then I can microwave it away. It's amazing.
That's right. When you put it in the microwave, everything erases.
It erases, and then I have the same notebook. It's amazing. They've done phenomenally well. I think they've done a really good job utilizing the tools that I described.
A version of Etch-a-Sketch almost. It's like super fun.
It really is. Like, or like probably not as fun as Etch-a-Sketching taking business notes, but hey, maybe I'll spend some time drawing some pictures tonight to relax. But anyway, one that I'm really excited about that recently joined is the Aid Sleep Tracker. So kind of low tech on the Rocketbook side, but a little higher tech is Aid Sleep, which is essentially a smart mattress cover. So rather than like putting in a sleep pill under your mattress or something and counting on that tiny square inch to track your biometrics and your sleeping habits, this is an entire mattress cover. And they had a really successful raise on Indie. We're just starting to build traction, and quite frankly, we can't keep them in stock, so we're working on that to make it happen, and I'm really looking forward to marketing them more. And then one, hopefully later down the road, I've been in talks about this Play Impossible, which I know you guys have been working with closely, and that's really like a really cool new smart connected toy. It takes the concept of a ball that we all played with before tech was part of our lives. It kind of like throws that in with some really cool app-enabled feedback.
Someone's thinking about Amazon.
Yeah.
And because I get this question a lot, you know, their first thought is traditional, you guys call it marketplace, or what's marketplace on Amazon versus Launchpad.
Yeah.
How would you advise someone? How would you steer them?
So maybe it's two questions. So in terms of like what's next, I think it's really exciting that Amazon typically moves really, really fast, and we're always asking the question of what's next, but we're also still a young program, and we fully recognize that even with over 1,000 startups, we're learning all the time about like additional pain points that maybe we can solve either earlier in the chain to go to market or through additional value adds through retail channels that we already have access to. So kind of more to come there, but certainly our promise of what I had described earlier is not going away. It's only going to get more dangerous is what I'd say. We're getting a lot of support internally and externally. In terms of advice into when startups would want to work with us or kind of the key differences of the Launchpad program is an FAQ I get a lot is, why would we choose Launchpad versus regular Amazon? So to clarify, for the sake of podcast, you're not making that choice. Like Rocketbook is going to be indexed in office supplies on Amazon. So if you were a customer searching for notebooks, it's still going to surface. But what we provide with Launchpad is another area for us to drive targeted traffic to for the product to also be discoverable.
But there are different avenues, right? Because there's different fee structures depending on which side you go to.
Yeah. So there's traditionally and still today two ways of doing business with Amazon. The marketplace side, which you had mentioned, is what we have a kind of like about four different names for: third-party selling on Amazon, marketplace. What essentially that means is it's a consignment model where you're representing your product. It's going to say ships and sold by, you know, insert brand name here. You have the option of using FBA, which is Fulfillment by Amazon, to warehouse the products. But that's really essentially you're representing the entire business, and what we charge is a referral fee. On the retail side, which is where Launchpad lives, it's more of a traditional buy-in agreement where we're taking more of a stake in actually acquiring the inventory. Therefore, we have more kind of ambition to sell the inventory is how I would put it. So we have a few more marketing tools. But it is a different kind of fee structure, which is negotiated on a per item basis, mostly because we have to understand the dimensions and the weight of a product, because shipping a ball is going to be a lot different than shipping a refrigerator or something like that. So without getting into too many specifics, those are the main differences. On the retail side, it will automatically be Prime eligible because we are essentially taking ownership of that inventory. Part of the agreement is that we will do both inbound and outbound freight, basically take on the operations and logistics of doing business on Amazon.
Which is amazing because I know that's a huge headache for a lot of people.
It is, and it's time consuming. I think a lot of people, especially you don't know what you don't know when you're first bringing a product to market, and it can be time consuming, and it can also be something that's really hard to calculate the back end margins of that time effort. So essentially it's a way to wrap it all in together with the added benefit of getting the marketing goodness from the Launchpad suite.
Amazing. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for coming out to the Pink Tank. We've certainly had a wonderful trip with the Amazon Launchpad. Can't wait to see what's next, get more products in. And if you guys are thinking about launching a product or campaign, if you're already on Indiegogo, if you've already been funded, definitely go check us out. We'll post the links in the show notes. Go to AmazonLaunchpad.com. You can go to Amazon.com/Indiegogo to check out our collection. And we'll chat soon. It'll be good.
Perfect. Thanks, Brett.
Big thanks to all our partners and campaigners for helping make CES 2017 such a huge success. If you'd like to be included in next year's roundup, or if you just have feedback on what you'd like to see included next year, send us a note. Email gotime@indiegogo.com. Make sure to subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a rating when you have a chance. And until next time, thanks for listening.